Thank you so much for listening to this pre-recorded episode of Agent Chat Live. Agent Chat Live is a spinoff of Pub Talk Live. To find out more about both shows, go to pubtalk.live. Thank you so much to my Patreon podcast supporters, Brenda Drake, Jay Lynn, and Reframe. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Agent Chat Live with Kimberly Cameron. I'm just going to go ahead and get started, but you can find a link for the Patreon in the comments if you would like. I mean, in the description if you would like. And you can also see if you click on my channel and go to a to look at the playlist, you can see all the other Agent Chat Lives that we've done and that I have scheduled coming up. So today we have Kimberly Cameron, who is president of Kimberly Cameron and Associates and has been a literary agent for almost 30 years. Her most recent successes are The Chanel Sisters by Judith Little, from Graydon House, the Willie Mays book 24, Life Lessons and Stories from the Say Hey Kid from St. Martin's Press, and Barbara Boxer's memoir, The Art of Tough from Hachette. She also loves to start the careers of debut authors. She resides and works from Tiburon, California and France, with many visits to New York to make the rounds of editorial offices. She's also a mentor to five other agents who are successful in selling their own books at her agency. And you can find her social media info in the description down below. Please welcome Kimberly Cameron. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful sunny day in California.
Yes, we're both very lucky with the weather today.
We are. We feel for our fellow Texans.
Yes. Yeah. I used to live in Texas, so for sure. All right. So my goal here, Kimberly, is to help you get help potential clients get to know you a little bit better. And viewers are welcome to drop questions in the comments. I do have questions prepared. But I did want to say, starting off, that I won't really be asking any questions that a Google search or, you know, anyone can kind of answer. So like word count questions, stuff like that. And I also won't be asking what I like to call pre-queries. So if someone asks you specifically, like, would you be interested in this specific thing?
Of course.
that's not what the show is for. So just a heads up on that.
Okay.
We have some people watching. Jay, one of our regulars, is here. So I told you my other show is called Pub Talk Live. And so the regulars around it named themselves Pubbers. So that's a community name. So that's what that.
Following.
Yeah, that's great. Hi, I can't remember SAD's first name right now, but they are also a regular on the channel. Okay, so we're gonna start off just kind of like basic. What categories and genres of books do you represent?
Well, what I love about this job, and it is a job because I take it very seriously, is that I'm always gonna be surprised every day. I never know what I'm going to read or what's going to come across my desk or my email box. And, you know, I kind of say I'm almost open to anything because I like to be surprised. I like to be astonished by good writing. But I, you know, I've done very well with lots of mysteries and thrillers and, you know, I like historical fiction. I like women's fiction. I like literary fiction. I love voice. So when someone gives me a voice that rings really clear and I can really get involved with the characters and they tell a great story, I'm kind of hooked. So, and then I also do some nonfiction. It has to be, for nonfiction, it has to be really unique because, you know, there's so much nonfiction out there and running memoirs all the time, but it has to, you know, memoir has to be driven by voice as well. And sometimes I come across a voice that just kind of grabs me and I'll do that. But if it's in a, it's like, I just had a book published yesterday, I think we announced it. It is called The Stories Worth Telling, and it's about storytelling and a connecting people, which I think is really important right now. Mm-hmm. And Anne Lamott wrote the introduction to it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it was something that I went, wow, that could be a really important book. So I took that on and we sold it. So
nice.
So I'm kind of open to all genres, but I don't do children's and I don't do middle grade, but I have some fabulous agents in my agency that cover that. So if you look in the fine print, you can see who's representing all those things.
Yeah. Cool. So a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you've been in the business for, it says, almost 30 years. Why did you originally get into agenting?
Well, everybody's got a circuitous route to this job, I think. I was a publisher, and I had a publishing company in New York, Los Angeles. And when that kind of just decided to, you know, change my life in a lot of ways, I kind of gave that up. And there was I had a wonderful mentor by the name of Doris Halsey, who had the Reese Halsey Agency for 50 years. And she'd sold us a lot of books in the publishing company. So when I was kind of wandering around, wondering what I was going to do, and she goes, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I don't want to move to New York because my son was 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And so she said, well, you know, Reese has been dead a long time, and I've never thought about having a partner, but why don't you become my partner? So she really gave me this wonderful introduction into a boutique agency in Los Angeles that was very successful and had handled some very, very important writers over the years. So I was very lucky. And then I started going to New York just by myself, knocking on doors and trying to get to know editors and do all that. So I just took to it.
Nice. Very cool. So this next question has a bit of a caveat, because sometimes if I ask this question without it, the agents are like a little too humble. So I'm giving you a chance to brag about yourself a little bit. So please take advantage of it. If someone is thinking about querying you and your wish list lines up with their work, why should someone query you? Why would you be a good agent for them?
Well, I take my job, as I said, very seriously, and I'm kind of dogmatic and stubborn. And if I believe in a writer, it's like I'm not taking no for an answer. So I've had manuscripts that I've sold after 7 years of trying. I mean, I believe in a writer if I take somebody on. And so I don't like to be told no. So that's not really the quality as an agent.
It is.
Really, we'll just kind of go to the ends of the earth to make sure somebody, some editor out there somewhere, sees the merit of their writing. And I just got a contract after having a manuscript for 2 years at a publisher. You know, you just never know. Oh, wow. But just kind of try everything. So I'd say that's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. So Patreon supporters can submit questions ahead of time for these chats. And we have one from supporter Lodestar. He asked, you've worked with offices in both LA and New York. What would you say is the biggest difference between working in those two cities? And do you prefer one over the other?
Well, actually, I don't have an office in New York. There was time I had an associate who opened an office in New York.
Oh, gotcha.
But she's since left and is now an independent editor. Mm-hmm. You know, I love living on the West Coast. I love natural beauty. I like serenity. I don't think I love going to New York for about 7 days and then I just kind of go back to the West Coast. And the beauty of this business now, especially, I mean, I started in this business when there wasn't emails. Mm-hmm. And you have to send things to New York in big packages and get them back. And it was much harder then and a lot more expensive, actually, to be interested. With emails and the internet, it's much easier to get things to editors pretty fast. And, you know, there's just, you know, this business is based on relationships, though. I will say that. And going to conferences like we all used to do before the pandemic is also a really good way to meet editors and things like that. So between doing the trips to New York and going to conferences and meeting with editors, I think, and now we're doing Zooms. So there is a way, if you're engaged, you know, you can really have access to New York editors, especially when you're successful and they know who you are and all that kind of stuff. So over the years, it's gotten actually easier. And at the same time, I'll say it's gotten harder because as I've gotten older, there's a lot of new young editors that have come in. And I rely on my younger team here to kind of make sure that I know who they are too. Mm. So I really love mentoring my agents, my fellow agents, and these strong, powerful women, as I call them, are really excellent in their own right. They're all successful. They're all selling their own books, and you know, it's like Mama is here is proud. really am. So, nice. You know, I think in the old days, New York was probably a little easier because people went to lunch and met mm-hmm. editors at the time. But then someone would tell me, an editor would tell me when I come to New York that, Kimberly, you know, I get calls all the time, but when you come, we clear our desks because we really want to see you. And so I, you know, it's like I'm not there all the time. So it's, mm-hmm. there's
cons. Nice. So you mentioned it, you kind of hinted at it. You've seen a lot of change in the industry in the past 30 years. If you were kind of, you know, in a position to make a big change in the industry, like if you thought, if there's something that you think would just make the whole industry better in general, do you have anything like that? Do you have anything that you would change? Let's say you were like, the CEO of the future, like big one publisher that we're eventually going to have.
Well, I think my pet peeve, if you want to know what it is, you know, when I say that, and we spoke about this earlier, that I think one of the best parts of a relationship with a writer is politeness and trust and all that. I think that it may be caused by a myriad of reasons, but there are editors out there that just sometimes don't respond. Mm. And I find that very difficult because, you know, you're trying to make a relationship. You make up a query letter and you really want a relationship with someone. And when you just don't get anything back, it's really hard. And I think that that is more prevalent now than it used to be. Mm. I used to be able to get, I get people on the phone too, but I guess sometimes it was hard to get somebody on the phone. But, you know, if I could change one thing, I would say everybody should be a little bit more polite and get back to everyone, including myself. I mean, I've always prided ourselves on saying we really want to answer every query. I think it's really important that we do. And, you know, sometimes it takes a long time because we are overwhelmed and we get hundreds every day and it's just kind of crazy. And I don't think a lot of authors know that we really get that kind of volume. So it may take us a few months to get back, especially if we have a whole manuscript and we have our clients to deal with and we're trying to sell books every day. I mean, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I would just say that I would like everyone to try and be as polite as possible. That's what I would say.
All right. We had a library conference a couple years ago and the theme was superheroes, right? So everything was kind of themed around that. And sometimes they have these like little questions they'll ask you and they put them on your name badge. It's supposed to be like a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. And I'm an event planner. That's my day job. And so the question was, if you could choose a superpower, what would it be? And my answer was everyone responds to my emails within 15 minutes.
it doesn't have to be 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, if we're going superpower, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's that's something that I, unfortunately, it's just, we're all so busy and I miss things sometimes. I really do. Mm-hmm. And did you get my email? I said, uh-oh, where? You know, and I have to find it.
It's hard, especially if you're in, you know, a certain, like we all get into crunches, right? Like where there's so many pressing things. So the things that aren't pressing drop down. And then by the time you're out of your crisis, it's difficult to remember what you miss. And it's probably further down in your email inbox and that kind of thing. So yeah, right. I can see it happening, but also in your situation where an editor doesn't respond at all, you're like, well, did they leave? Did they get the email or are they just ignoring me? Are they mad at me?
Like, no, you know, I mean, we just have to not take anything in this business personally, really. And I would say that to authors. I mean, if you believe in yourself and you believe in your writing that you need, which is what you need to do, you just can't take rejections personally because sometimes it's such a subjective business and, you know, one agent is going to say no, and one agent is going to say yes for different reasons. And it might be that I have something similar on my list and I still liked it very much. And that's why I try and give good feedback sometimes and say, this was a close call, but I have something similar and it's just not going to work for me, but keep going.
Yeah. I think it's easy to think about, like, I have seen agents characterized as like people who just want to break writers' dreams, and that's just not the case. No. Like everyone I've ever met.
To realize their dreams, because we have dreams for them if we take them on. You know, that's what we really want.
All right. So if you sign a client, what can they expect after that? What does your process kind of normally look like?
Well, when I sign someone, then we really start working on the manuscript to get it ready for market. And so I probably ask them for maybe a rewrite or two, sometimes three, because our job is really to get it ready for the market. We can't get things out there that aren't ready, because if they're not, it looks bad on our watch. So we want, you know, to send something to someone and have them say, oh, it's from Kimberly. I really want to read this because she sends me great stuff. That's what I always want. Mm-hmm. And so we work on that, and then I go to work, and then I say, you go away for a while and let me do my stuff. And I query lots of different editors at all sorts of different houses. And sometimes, like, I just did a preempt because I just had a feeling that this writer was ready for this house, and it worked. So within the weekend, I had a deal on a book that I hadn't gotten out there yet. But it was a good deal, and it was the perfect place for her, and I knew that. And so it worked out just great. But, you know, I'll keep going. If it doesn't work, I'll just go to different kinds of houses and try and find the right fit. It's kind of like a marriage. It's like trying to find that right partner for the writer and how they can help them. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do. And then we do the contract thing and make sure that they get as many rights as we can retain, and enough money if we don't retain those rights. And, you know, I mean, I think contracts should be fair. That's what I think. Yeah. So I really just try to go for fairness. And I can see the point of view of a publisher, having been a publisher. Mm-hmm. But I also wear that agent's hat, and I really want my writers to feel well represented. So I fight for them on something.
Yeah, great. So what happens, just a follow-up, if you sign a writer on a book and that book isn't selling, you say you keep going, but of course, so you're not going to like give up on them if you don't sell the book in 2 years.
It varies. On most of them, I don't. On most of them, I really keep going, but there's some that just never sell. I mean, I can't say I sell everything I take on. That's just not.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. You know, and sometimes they just don't, and that's sad for everybody. You know, I believe in something. I want somebody else to feel the merit of it. And it's hard. It's heartbreaking. I always say that fiction is the most heartbreaking thing, because when you take a story that you love and a writer's voice that you love, and you really see it, and the editors don't, it's just like, well, why don't they see it?
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard. That's the hard part of this business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had that experience as a Pitch Wars mentor, where I thought the book, you know, that my mentee had was just like incredible, and it got very little interest in the agent showcase. And I'm like, but can't you see? Okay, so we have a second question from Patreon supporter Lodestar, and we referenced it earlier. You state on your site that you appreciate writers who exude patience, understanding, politeness, and trust. Do you have anything that inspired you to pick out these qualities specifically?
Well, as we discussed, I think those are the qualities that make for a great relationship in life. And I think that those, it's also communication. I mean, we really have to communicate with each other. And I want all my clients to feel like they can get me on the phone if they need me. And I try and get back to them as soon as I can. But, you know, those are just qualities I'd like in people. So I'd like to work with people that I like. So that's how I pick them.
Awesome. All right. So we have a quick round of just kind of like fun questions, and then we'll take some questions from the audience. So these are not specifically agent related. They're just meant to kind of like give you a little chance to showcase your personality. The first question, though, has a little bit of a story behind it. When I started doing the spinoff Agent Chat Live, I'm terrible at naming things. Like, I've never titled a book that I've written, you know, I'm just really bad at naming things. And so I had asked my Patreon supporters for suggestions. And one of the suggestions came from Lodestar, and it was snack time with an agent. And I liked it because it conveyed the kind of casual atmosphere, chatty atmosphere that I wanted to have. But I also thought it might imply that it was for like kidlet specific. So I didn't go with a name, but it lives on in this question. So these are just questions, like answer as quickly as you can, basically. What is your favorite snack?
My favorite snack is, I don't snack, so it would be a meal, but it would be avocado toast.
That's what I had today.
I did too.
Yeah, I'm doing an elimination diet for immune disorder that I have, and I'm doing wheat reintroduction, and that was like the first, whenever I started, I was like, I have to have avocado toast. That's like the first thing I wanted.
Yeah, you know, you go no carb, and it's so hard because it's just that crunch that you need sometimes for your soul.
So if you drink caffeine, what is your preferred caffeine source?
I drink an espresso every morning.
Oh, nice.
And I believe, and I use Ely, and I like Pete's because I have an espresso machine, both in the office and in the house, because, and I think I've read a lot about coffee being really kind of great for your brain. And I think as we get older too, especially, it really cleans the cobwebs in the morning and like that. And then I go to green tea after that.
Oh, nice. Nice. So team coffee and team tea will be satisfied by your answer. We have a strong contingent here. Oh. Do you have a word that you irrationally hate?
I don't like meanness. I really don't like meanness in any form.
Oh, okay.
That would be my real go-to for that.
Cool. Do you have anyone that you would like to read a memoir from that, as you know, anyway, hasn't published one yet?
That's a good, you know, I really wish my late partner had written a memoir. She had a fascinating life. She was quickly Hungarian born, raised in France, and that's my love of France. I really, we used to speak French together, and I lived in Paris for on and off for 9 years. So I really have this thing for France and all things French. So everybody know that too. But, you know, she worked for the resistance when she was a young girl and captured by the Germans and didn't talk very much about that. But she was a linguist. She spoke six languages. And
goodness.
And I really loved her because she had a Hungarian goulash dinner at her house one night, which was a big house in the Hollywood Hills. And my husband of 27 years was there, and that's how we met. So she became fairy godmother as well as my partner.
How so cool.
Story. Yeah.
Yeah, she sounds great.
She was fabulous.
Okay, so final quick round question. If you have one, who's your favorite superhero?
I don't really like superheroes.
Okay, that's a fair answer.
Don't come to me with superhero stuff. I just don't find them really believable for so many reasons. I really like more character-based fictions with people who have special powers.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So like more like a Raising Dion kind of situation, maybe?
Yeah.
All right. So we have a couple of questions in the comments. I'm going to go ahead and pull them up. Savannah asked, what is something you have learned in the past year about publishing, being an agent, or the publishing industry in general?
That I've learned? Mm-hmm. Well, I think the biggest subject of the year in publishing is that we need more diverse voices. And we are trying to do that. I'm a sponsor of the AALA now, which used to be the AAR. Mm-hmm. And it's the Association of Literary Agents. And we really we're trying to mentor diverse voices, and I'd like to hear from diverse voices, and I don't get a lot of them. And we're getting more and more. In fact, I have several younger agents that are definitely going down that road and finding those voices, and I'm really proud of them for doing that. And I'd like more of them myself.
All right. Beth asked, you say you'll do a rewrite or two to prepare a manuscript. So how do you distinguish if a book is nowhere near ready for you to take on? So how do you determine if I can get this ready with a revision, or I don't think I can get this ready?
Well, this is what I've always said. That's a good question, Beth. This is what I've always said in publishing. You know, there are no bad writers, you know. I think there are writers that are just more ready in the process of writing. And I think that that's really what comes down to when I take a book on, I feel like they're close. I feel like the book is working on so many levels that there's just minor things that I can kind of help the author to make it a little bit more marketable. So, you know, that's really, it's really the voice and something that either intrigues me or teaches me something, or I just feel that I just like it. I mean, it comes down to liking a book, you know, it really does. That's what it comes down to. Uh-oh, we lost audio.
That's my fault. Sorry. Okay. So Doug asks, would you represent an author who doesn't live in the United States if the manuscript is a good fit for your list?
Yes. And I've had so many authors that I actually never met because they lived in very strange places in the world. So it has to be in English, of course. I mean, my French isn't that good, so I can't translate anything. But if the English is good enough for the American market, then I can place it in the American market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. There's a conversation going on about team tea versus team coffee, as always happens every time we mention it. Some people are team hot chocolate. Savannah.
Hot chocolate, and I love mochas, but mm-hmm. You know, I try not to do that too often.
Savannah said I put espresso in my hot chocolate. Yeah, I've done that. That's pretty great.
Yeah, no, I love that. I really love mocha too. So,
all right, we have another question from Beth. What sort of changes do you see happening in the publishing industry because of COVID?
Well, I think that the publishing industry is going to keep working remotely for a while, and I don't think it'll ever get back to all those people in tiny offices next to each other. I think that it's going to stay either flexible in the way that people will be working from home part of the time or part of the time going into the offices. I think that that's the biggest change I've seen, and I don't know quite what that will mean when I go to New York and see people. So it's going to be interesting. It's kind of an unknown, I'll put it that way.
All right, so I have a couple more questions for you. One is, this is like pretty much the only question I ask of this kind. What is your single best query letter tip for writers?
Well, I would say be sincere and polite, of course, but write from your heart. Write why you wrote this book. Give us a little bit about you. I mean, it's your calling card, is what I've always said about query letters. And, you know, I mean, you can't believe what I've gotten in the past, you know, with things, people aren't serious, you know, they're just kind of wasting time. And we can't do that. So when we look at our queries, we really want to find that diamond in the rough. You know, there are so many people querying agents at the same time, and we realize that, and when we find something that intrigues us, we want to jump on it as soon as we can. But you know, I just think you need to be sincere about what you're writing about, and that will come across, and it will touch us in some way.
All right. So Tamara, when she can come, she has this question that I've been really enjoying hearing the answer to. Tamara lives in Australia, so sometimes the time doesn't work. Okay. But she's been asking the agents, Is there an author that if you would love to have the opportunity to represent, like it's probably an author who already has representation if something, you know, were to change, is there any author that you would love to work with?
Well, I mean, there's some wonderful authors out there. There's just so many. I don't think I could take one. I want to work with authors that I like personally. That's really important to me. And, you know, there's just so many authors out there. I couldn't single one out. And you know, really the only negative thing I can say about being a literary agent is we always have homework, and it's so hard for us to find the time to read a regular book. I mean, I've got guilt written right here every day with all the manuscripts that I should have read by now. And I keep going in the queue and I keep trying to do it. And, you know, I buy a book here and I buy a book there. And it's very seldom that I have a chance to read a book just for pleasure. Mm-hmm. But I try to, because I want to keep up with what's going on. And, you know, so I sneak some in once in a while. But
yeah. I've heard a couple of literary agents talk about most of their pleasure reading now, especially the ones who are like a little bit further in their career, has been through audiobooks, because usually they're doing that when they can't be reading potential client manuscripts. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're like cleaning house or driving or whatever, they're not going to be reading anyway. And so that's like the only time that they don't feel guilty about reading a published book.
You know, we stop driving.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to listen to anything either. I usually listen to French when I'm driving, but I haven't been doing that either. It's a challenge, I'll put it that way, to be able to really read for pleasure when you're doing this as a job. Because you have, it's 24/7 really that you need to keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So that's actually related to one of my questions. If you've read any published books recently, what are the last couple of books that you read that you really enjoyed? And these can be your client books as well.
Well, I really loved The Chanel Sisters, which I sold to Graydon House, and it's doing very well. In fact, it was on the, it's like 6 or 7 on the bestseller Canadian mail.
Okay.
So that was really great. I just loved one that's not out yet, but it's a rom-com. And, you know, in these days, it's really been, you know, so tough to even exist during this pandemic and feel like there's going to be a future. So I just sold this rom-com, and it's going to be called, I think, Love at First Spite. It's really fun. And I that's the one I sold also to Graydon House, and I like that a lot. The books I largely read are the ones of my clients.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it. Or they become my clients if they have, you know. But, you know, there's so many out there I'd like to read. And, you know, I've got a lovely iPad that I have probably hundreds of books that I want to read someday. And, you know, if we ever go on vacation again, maybe I can do that.
Yeah. All right. So, final question, what is your favorite thing about being a literary agent?
Well, it's kind of how I started this, interview with you. I mean, I love the fact that I never know what I'm going to read every day. I never know what is going to come across my desk and what email is going to hit me you know. I love that it's different every day. That's what I love about it. And it's stimulating, you know, it's gets my brain working, and, you know, and it is a relationship, job. And even if it's email relationships, I have a lot of them, and I find them very satisfying and, nurturing. And, you know, I love also seeing my clients get successful.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That's the best, you know, when you take someone who's been a debut author and you get them going, and then they get a series or they get accolades and they get awards. I mean, there's nothing better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it really makes you feel good.
Yeah. Doug had a question. I don't know if you know. Have you or anyone in your agency started appearing on Clubhouse rooms to speak about publishing? Are you familiar with Clubhouse?
Not really.
It's a new app. It's like a social media app where it's voice only. So you enter a room and you can chat and have it's like open conversation kind of. But it is only available to iPhone users. So I can't even get it because I have an Android. So
I have an iPhone, but you know, I mean, I don't really have time to do that. I'm doing some conferences virtually and I'm going to be talking and critiquing writers' work and things like that. But to just go into a chat room to talk about publishing, I don't really have time to do that right now. I'm just always really should be reading or looking at contracts or something, you know?
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come here and answer my question, answer our viewer questions. Thank you everyone who joined us live and asked questions. Love having y'all live here. If you're watching the replay, thank you for watching that as well. And if you're listening on the podcast, always appreciate however you consume the show. I just wanted to let everyone know on Thursday, I am teaching a workshop on author press kits. So if you have any interest in that, I'm just going to drop the link in the comments, in the chat real quick. And that's Thursday at 7 Eastern, if you're interested in that. So thank you, Kimberly, so much for joining us.
Good luck to everyone.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself and keep going.
That's a great way to end the show. So, bye everyone. Have a good week.
Good
Stay
luck.
Safe. Wash your hands, wear a mask, and we'll see you next time. Bye everyone.